Mr. Cross, response?
Well, we're just ready to talk about relevant issues. This issue is just inside baseball that happens at the State House, Chris. We've talked about on your radio show. What people don't want to talk about, or what people are really not interested in, is the politics and the back and forth. Like I said, I've been there the last three terms where we've had a speakership battle every time. When I ran the first time, there was a speakership battle. There was a speakership battle the second time and the third time. This is politics at its finest. What people care about is, what are you doing for us to make our days better? What are you trying to get accomplished? What are you doing to bring back money home? How are you making good conservative policy in the State House? And I think that's where voters are going to continue to support my reelection, because they know we get the job done. We know that we are there for them as a good conservative champion. And all this stuff that they talk about, this, I guess, particularly speakership vote, is must be a big deal to some. But in my district, people either don't know about it or don't care.
And a follow-up for Mr. Matthews on this question. Was this battle over the speaker, which was acrimonious at the time, was that one of the driving factors in your decision to seek this seat at this time?
It was one of them, but yeah, I think what happened here is, even back, I'll give you a little bit of a timeline. This past year I was in Iraq. I was deployed to Iraq. I came back in August. During my time in Iraq, while I was serving my nation, my opponent betrayed the party, betrayed your vote. And when I came back and I heard about all this that was happening, and again, we want to say this is all political maneuvering. The reason why he has leadership position is because of this political maneuvering. This is the first time, I believe, in history that sitting state representatives have been censured by the Ohio Republican Party. They just lost their party endorsement. So when you're asking me if this is a speaker issue, why I'm running, I don't believe it's a speaker issue. I believe it's an issue on integrity and what I see out of our elected officials.
I'm going to stop you there because our timer should have been reset to 1 minute, not 2 minutes. So we'll
go ahead. I'm good there. I think there. I kept that pretty clear.
And we will move on.
Mr. Could we get a chance to rebut that since he brought me up real quickly?
30 if you seconds. Would like.
30 yep. seconds. First, we didn't lose any endorsement. Okay, the Republican Party at a county level does not endorse in the primary, and at the state level, they decided not to endorse legislative candidates. They also didn't endorse Jim Hoops and our assistant majority whip, who had nothing to do with who's voting for speaker or not voting for speaker. Again, when words matter, I just asked my opponent, he thinks he's going to tell one side of the story of what happened at the state Republican Party. The endorsements that matter to me are the Ohio Right to Life endorsement, the Ohio Chamber endorsement, the Buckeye Firearms Association endorsement, the NRA endorsement, the National Small Business endorsement. Those organizations and those memberships are the only ones that endorse me in this race. So if you want to worry about whether a state party did or didn't endorse in candidates, what I like to talk about is my record of work and the people seeing my record of work and those organizations and those memberships endorsing my race. I'm proud to have those endorsements, and the only candidate in this race to have those endorsements.
Chris and Meyer, Matthew, yeah, allowed to respond. All right, yeah. Thank you. Again, I'll ask, this is the first time in history any of this has happened. That's a big deal when the Ohio Republican Party votes not to endorse an incumbent. Again, I stand by what I said. Look it up. Again, I would then ask the Ohio Right to Life endorsement. I would ask my opponent, why is he not endorsed by the local party, the local Right to Life crowd? I have the endorsement of the Ohio Right to Life Coalition with the support of the local Right to Life Coalition. So yes, we can tout our endorsements, and I'm proud to tout my endorsements, and I'm sure you're going to be very impressed with one coming down the road. But again, I'm not here to talk endorsements. I'm here to talk about how we can serve the community, and I'm proud to have my community endorsements with these value-driven organizations.
Well, Chris, let me explain something on the endorsement. The Ohio Right to Life organization, they've endorsed, in some races, two candidates, both the incumbent and the non-incumbent. In this race, I think my opponent's not being very truthful. They did not endorse my opponent in this race because of his statements that he made on medical freedom. There's a document that was floating around about how he is for choice. He is for medical choice. And that doesn't sound like a very pro-life statement to me. So I'm not familiar with the local chapters. The only local chapter I know is there's a local Toledo Ohio Right to Life chapter. There is no Hancock County Ohio Right to Life chapter, but the state organization has made a clear difference between me being the pro-life candidate who has supported the heartbeat bill, has supported pro-family and pro-adoption legislation on record voting, and my opponent putting out pro-choice statements from the Medical Freedom Association, whoever they are, and whatever liberal organization that is. So there's a real difference between who's endorsing who in this race. When it comes to pro-life, we are the pro-life candidate in this race.
Mr. Matthews?
Yeah, we talk about experience, and I'm shocked that this is the amount of experience that I'm hearing tonight. Is the Ohio, when we talk about medical freedom, that is talking about your choice to whether you vaccinate your child or not. So to make that sound like that this is a choice of a pro-life issue, I mean, you just got to do your research. And that's why my message is, everyone out there that's listening, do your research. Look at my endorsements. The medical freedom is about you making the decision for your child on whether they can receive a vaccine or not. And I'm sorry for the folks out there that are involved with the local Right to Life community out here. I do see you, and I am your voice.
We're going to take a break briefly and come back with cover more ground with both Ty Matthews and John Cross, candidates for the Republican primary for the 83rd district seat, the Ohio House of Representatives, in tonight's candidate forum on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN, and now at 95.5 FM.
The Hancock County Republican Party wants to remind you to join them for their first Friday luncheons. Enjoy a great meal, network with fellow Republicans, and listen to a featured speaker. Lunches are held at the Findlay Moose Lodge, number 698. Meal is served at 11:30 and the program starts at noon. March 1st, candidates for state representative, 83rd Ohio District. April 5th, City of Findlay update from Mayor Byrne. May 3rd, Hancock County update from commissioners. Please support local, state, and national candidates. For more info, go to HancockCountyGOP.org.
Your first look at business and the business of life happens each weekday morning on WFIN. Hi, this is Gordon Deal, inviting you to join me at 5 a.m. for This Morning, America's First News. We'll give you the top money and business news and information about managing your money and retirement savings. Plus, there's the latest on technology, e-commerce, careers, health, entertainment, and much more. This Morning, weekdays at 5 a.m. And check out the weekend edition Saturday mornings at 5 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5. FM.
Take WFIN wherever you go with our updated mobile app for iPhone and Android. And now you can listen to us on your Alexa device. Get the app at WFIN.com or in the App Store or Google Play. Plus, enable Alexa by searching for WFIN under Skills, and you'll soon be saying, Alexa, play 1330 WFIN. And the best part is the apps and skills are absolutely free. On the air at 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM. Online at WFIN.com and on your smartphone, tablet, and Alexa devices.
This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchak with a reminder that when you see news happening, call our news tip line at 419-422-2056. That's 419-422-2056. Your news authority, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN, and now at 95.5 FM.
Welcome back to tonight's candidate forum. This evening, we're speaking with the two individuals running in the Republican primary for the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives, incumbent John Cross and challenger Ty Matthews. Before the break, the topic of abortion came up. Let me expand on that just a moment. Both of you, obviously, as you have stated, claimed endorsements by prominent pro-life groups, Mr. Cross by the Ohio Right to Life PAC, Mr. Matthews by the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. Given that last year voters approved a ballot measure placing the right to abortion in the state constitution, what does a pro-life agenda look like in the state legislature? And we'll begin with Mr. Cross.
Well, thank you very much. First, just because the state of Ohio went that way, Hancock County and Hardin County was opposed to where the state had ended up. At the end of the day, that doesn't mean that we stop giving up on life. We are going to continue to try everything we can do to protect life. But where I think the Republican Party can continue to excel is, let's take care of you also when you're living. You know, there are too many babies and mamas out there and infant mortality where we can do a better job of making sure that when there was a shortage of formula, trying to take care of babies. We also need to think about the whole life of perspective, even with adoption. I was pleased to pass in one of my 12 bills I got signed into law, the Family Forward Act, which allows families to complete adoptions if they fall short on funding. Who knew that adoptions could cost up to $50,000? It's a lot of money. And so we passed this that would give low interest rates, which is timely given interest rates are very high right now, to families to access capital to complete those adoptions. There are a lot of things that we can do while we are trying to protect the unborn, that we need to protect the born and protect as many people as we can through the whole aspect of their natural given life. So I think that is a winning message that Republicans need to do, not only here in Ohio, but across the country, on a winning message. It's a pro-family, pro-adoption, pro-life message. And we're pleased to be supporting that type of legislation in the Ohio House over the last three terms and 6 years.
Mr. Matthews, again, what does a pro-life agenda look like for you in the state legislature?
Right. I believe we, again, we're going to all probably agree here in the room that we never stop fighting for life. And though November may have been a big hit to us in the pro-life community, that should strengthen our resolve to keep and continue fighting. Right now, I believe that we should be looking at abortion, you know, I think as the Republican Party, as a heart issue, right? I think we all look at this as a symptom of an illness, and we keep trying to treat a symptom rather than the illness. So I'd like to actually sit down and let's see what we can do. In the military, we call it to the right or left of the bang. You know, you hit the bomb, and we all keep talking about why do we hit the bomb? Why was it just the bomb? Well, let's talk about how we can prevent abortions going forward. And that's done through the community. That's done through every one of us here in this room reaching out to these young women, even before they get pregnant, on preventative measures, but also care during the pregnancy. And we have a great resource right here in our community, the Women's Resource Center. I believe during these times, we prop them up and we try to reach people that are struggling with this hard and terrible decision.
In that same election last year, Ohio voters also approved a measure legalizing recreational marijuana in the state. Although that law is now in effect, the legislature has been extremely slow to put in place a framework to regulate its sale and distribution. What should that framework look like, and should this be a higher priority for lawmakers? And we'll begin with Mr. Matthews.
Yes. I'm a small government conservative, and that's what I believe is defined as a traditional conservative. That means less government and more liberty. Looking at this right now and how this law is passed, I think we need to look at how this is securing the liberties for ourselves, but also our posterity, the future generations. What are we doing that is going to benefit the future generations? And currently right now, looking how we can tighten up that law where we make it less accessible for youth to acquire this drug, looking at how, I believe, don't quote me on this, but how it's currently written, the amount that you can possess and grow within your home is kind of contradictory. I think if you, the amount that you have, plants that you own, the amount that bud that produces, you're going to be constantly in violation of the amount of ounces that you could have on a person. I think that's just causing, that's just bad law. It's just bad legislation getting passed where you see The criminal justice system is just going to have to struggle between the amount of ounces that someone has as they're growing that. So I think looking at this from a government, small government standpoint, we look at it how we can restrict the access to the youth. And again, I do not believe introducing a mind-altering substance to the community is the right direction to go.
Mr. Cross.
Well, first and foremost, even though I might personally have been against issue two and allowing marijuana to become legal in Ohio, the first thing is you can't circumvent the will of the voter. Okay, my opponent, we didn't pass any legislation. The voters voted on it. What we are doing now in the legislature, because it wasn't a constitutional amendment, we have to put a couple, some meat on the bone around this legislation so this gets enacted. First, We need to make sure that we don't circumvent the will of the voter. I said that once, I'm saying it twice, because the Senate and the governor wanted to rush legislation and try to circumvent the will of the voter. We're not going to do that in the Ohio House. We're going to take our time and get it right. If the governor wants to be in a rush, I'll ask the governor to sign an executive order. He has the power to sign executive orders, and if he wants to put temporary laws in place, then he can do that. He hasn't done it yet, but if that's something he wants to do, he can do that. Secondly, taxes. If you overtax this, we're just going to create a larger black market. Okay, in California and Nevada and Colorado, where this is happening, number one, there's uncontrollable vomiting that's happening, because if you smoked marijuana in the 60s, it ain't the marijuana today that you smoked in the 60s. So you're going to go to the ER for smoking a lot of marijuana that's probably higher potent than it was when you smoked it in the 60s. Number two, taxes. How do we get the right tax structure? And then what do we do with the taxes? One of the ideas we floated around in the Ohio House is to redirect those taxes right back to law enforcement, so it can support law enforcement and support our new jails that are trying to be funded and our local communities, so the taxpayer doesn't have to feel the burden of supporting local jails. And then number three, safety. For my two boys sitting here in the front row, I want to make sure that they don't have access to gummies and all the different candies that are out there associated with marijuana. So taxes, safety, and not circumventing the will of the voter as we put the final touches to legislation is what I recommend to solve this issue.
Let's move on to the issue of education. Last week, Representative Michelle Grimm introduced House Bill 411, an education bill that, among other things, would raise the minimum base salary for teachers in the state of Ohio from $35,000 a year to nearly $50,000 a year. Do you support that measure? Why or why not? And what are your priorities for raising the quality of public education in the state? And we'll begin with Mr. Cross.
Yeah, great question. So yes, I do support this, because in the budget, it was the Ohio House that actually moved the base salary from $30,000 a year to $35,000. We actually tried to negotiate with the Senate and went to $40,000. The Senate said no. There's a trend here, I think, tonight. The Senate's not doing what we in the House want, so we keep fighting for what we want in the House. And they brought it back down to 35. Listen, I'm a practical politician. When you go talk to any of our superintendents, the first thing they say is, John, I can't find bus drivers. I can't find teachers. If we're going to pay people to be bus drivers, we got to get them educated with CDL training. If you want more teachers to come to this community, we got to give them a really good wage so they can afford to live here in this beautiful town that we live in. And so I think what we're doing is working on a state budget that moves the base minimum. Then it allows our local school boards to make the final decisions of how they should pay for performance and pay for their teachers to try to continue to recruit the best teachers we can get here in Findlay, Ohio.